Hello.
Hi, how are
How are
you?
you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. Thanks so much for coming in here. There's some amazing women on our call today from my momentum group. So I thought that we would just have our kind of conversation, and then if they have any specific questions to ask or add, then that would be awesome.
Sure. Very
Cool.
good.
Thank you. And
Can
how
you
are you?
see and hear okay, yeah?
Yeah, I can see and hear you perfectly. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, Jenny is no video at the moment. Nikki and Carly here. So this is Dr. Alana Polo, who I talk often about. I'm like, I don't know, but you should follow her because she has like daily inspiring information on anything hormonal. So
As do you, right? I
thank
think
you.
you, yes, you share a lot of great information also.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, as we know, I've had you on my podcast before, but I think that just being able to have a bit of an open conversation with, the 40 and beyond, and kind of like where we even start as we start to experience hormonal changes, because you have so many amazing tidbits, and it's just, I feel like sometimes can be so overwhelming. So the
It
question of where
can
do
be.
we even begin? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we know now more. At least we talk about it more than we've ever talked about it. And, the fact that women experience all these symptoms, and there's something that can be done about it. We don't have to suffer. We don't have to stay quiet. We have solutions. So it's empowering. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what do you find like the most common maybe changes women experience in their 40s and beyond, like at the beginning, maybe the peri stages?
Yeah, the peri. So, peri is such a broad time frame. Basically, it can be 10 years or so before our period ends. Menopause is defined as like that 1 year without a cycle. So anything leading up to that year is peri. And for us, it can be 10 or 15 years starting at age 35. So what do we notice? We just don't feel like ourselves. Things are starting to change. We're tired. We're moody, we're gaining weight, our libido is changing, our periods are changing, our body shape is changing. Things that we used to be able to do don't necessarily feel so easy. And that's usually when women are coming in to see me. They know that they're just not feeling their best or as good as they used to.
Yeah, well said. Like checking all the boxes as you're saying every single one of those. Oh, I was gonna ask about the symptoms, so that's perfect. And do you find like mood swings also kind of are a part of that as well? Or where do you sit
Yeah,
those?
moody and like irritable, right? I feel like women are just cranky and they can't deal with stress the same way. They might, lash out and yell at their kids or yell at their husband or just get more irritated. And that's all like, cortisol. When I talk about hormones, I think there's this conception that it's just estrogen and progesterone. And those are two of our sex hormones, of course, but there's also testosterone and there's also DHEA and there's also a thyroid hormone and insulin and cortisol. And these are all like stress hormones and sex hormones and metabolic hormones. So it isn't so much about just one or two hormones like estrogen and progesterone being out of balance. It's sort of that whole picture. And I think that cortisol is a huge hormone that impacts women as we age and our moods and our sleep and our, irritability. It's pretty common.
Yeah. How do you like, I guess at the beginning, how do you differentiate between knowing that it is a hormonal path and change opposed to just like, oh, you're stressed, you need to go on to, whatever. Just breathe, take it easy, the things that we hear. It's like, seriously, how do
Seriously,
we
I mean
get
that
past
works to
that?
a point. Yeah,
Yeah.
sometimes we're so far gone.
Yeah.
So how do we know? I think it's based on symptoms. Talking to someone, I can have a very good indication based on what's going on in their history if it's hormonal. And then of course testing. I like, hormone testing. I like blood testing. I like to see where things are at along with what a patient is feeling or what a woman is presenting. And then we connect those dots and put the two together.
What would be your baseline testing to get things going?
A female hormone panel, so estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, FSH, LH, estradiol, and then an adrenal panel, which is cortisol and DHEA, and blood work for insulin and thyroid and iron. Iron, something so simple, impacts the way a woman feels tremendously, how tired she is, how moody she is, how short of breath she is when she's working out. All of that can just be as simple as low iron. So, and vitamin D, both of those are extra on the panel that I think are worth checking for any female who's middle-aged and feeling different.
I feel like everyone in Vancouver is just D deficient year round.
Everyone, it's crazy. I see people's labs and everyone's like sitting around 20, and we should be sitting at 100.
I find it
Problem is,
interesting. Yeah, go. Sorry. Yeah.
just know the problem is no one really checks it, so no one really knows. And then I think like labs can give us a very good indication of where we're at and where we need to go.
Yeah. Okay. I find it interesting too how. Doctors versus your background, naturopath, everything else, MD, that you're able to offer such a broader, I guess, view as to what our bodies are actually doing. And it's just, I feel like with let's go thyroid. If you just go and get your TSH tested, you're not going to actually understand the underlying level of where that should reside. And same with iron. I know, personally, my iron was borderline fine, and so a doctor wouldn't allow me to have an infusion. But then I had an infusion through a functional doc, and the amount of energy and difference that it made in me was huge. Why is there such a discrepancy?
Oh, there's so many reasons. So the first one is because we're not covered under MSP. So unfortunately, it's not the doctors and physicians, it's what the healthcare system will allow. So MSP will only cover certain level of testing, and it's expensive, right? We pay for it. So why, include everything that isn't necessarily necessary if it's government's dollars, right? So when you enter the world of functional medicine or naturopathic medicine, you're paying privately. And when you pay privately, the world opens up in terms of what you have access to. So, it's unfortunate because we're almost creating like a two-tier system within a one-tier system where naturopathic medicine is really expensive and not everybody has extended health or benefits. But if you do have the access to that, then, and you're willing to pay privately for certain things, then, for instance, your thyroid panel, it's $90 privately, but you have information about the entire functioning of your thyroid. And with that said, we also spend more time. MSP only allots for 7 minutes per visit. But when you're paying privately to see somebody for an hour, we have so many topics we can cover. I can go through what your thyroid is, how it works, what foods and supplements and vitamins and lifestyle impact the functioning of your thyroid. We simply can't do that in 7 minutes. So there's a few reasons why. And
Yeah.
I think that, the people who do, seek out naturopathic medicine, like for instance, with an iron infusion, and like I don't think people realize how amazing they can feel if they just, maybe go a different avenue when they're told everything is normal and no, but in your heart, like you don't feel great and there is something, then just keep advocating, keep seeing somebody else because there are definitely answers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think advocating for yourself is so important in health, absolutely, and knowing that there are. So I guess just going back to that, where do you even start? It's finding someone that'll listen to how you're feeling.
Yeah, and it's like I work with a lot of MDs. It's not one or the other. I think there's also like that huge misconception that if you work with a naturopath, your doctor won't be happy, or vice versa. We're all in collaborative care. Like we all have limitations. We all know our weaknesses and strengths. I'm all for pharmaceuticals when and if the time is necessary, but a lot of people just need time and education and information, not just a band-aid solution. So I think like collaboratively together, you can have so many healthcare professionals on your team that range from an MD to an ND to acupuncture, physio, chiro, massage, osteopath. Like there's so many people that can be on your team.
And I love how you personally experiment and try the different things that you are kind of touting that can help different areas. So right now I know you're doing the carnivore diet, and last month or 2 months ago you did a 72-hour fast, I believe it was.
You
So
know,
what were these benefits for?
I try everything for a few reasons. Like there's a ton of information online. People are so confused about what to try and where to go, and I have people who come in and ask me about it. I also want to be able to like speak to what I'm recommending. And I think that there's a time and a place for somebody who has unbelievable success on a carnivore diet, and then like all the other way to the spectrum of veganism. I've done vegan, I've done vegetarian, now I'm doing the carnivore. I practice fasting, but the benefit of a 3-day fast is something that I've never done before. And I think, you know, trying everything just allows me to be a more informed physician if I'm going to recommend something.
So where do you sit with fasting? I'm curious now that you are or you have done this, because there are so many, controversial conversations around fasting, especially for the female and the hormonal side of things.
What I will say is like there is not a one size fits all to anything about anything. So like any pro you're going to read, there will also be a con. And it all boils down to the individual person. Somebody who is under a phenomenal amount of stress and has very high cortisol and a lot of hormonal imbalances, fasting puts more stress on the body, so that person probably is not a candidate for fasting. But another person who doesn't have the same levels of stress, who's looking to balance their insulin because their insulin is out of regulation, then fasting might be a really good option for them. It all depends on your individual situation. And so this is my problem with just going to Google and taking something as gospel, not knowing anything about your fundamental concerns. It's probably not the safest, but if you're working with someone and you're trying things and you know your body, you're in tune with your body, then there's room for playing a little bit.
And what are you experiencing right now with the carnivore diet?
I feel amazing. Like it's crazy. I have so much energy. I have clear mind. I'm super productive. I don't have any crashes in the day. I'm popping out of bed. It's wild. Like everyone yesterday at work was like, "What are you taking?" And I'm like, I have very balanced blood sugars right now. I'm satiated. I'm satisfied. My body is being fueled. I feel strong and energetic. And I'm also an O type. I'm a meat eater. I'm more of like a mesomorph in my body. So like I feel like this is just something that I thrive on. I've tried veganism and I was terribly weak. I was pale. I was losing hair. I was anemic. It was terrible, but I went through it. And I did my labs at the beginning and the end, and my labs showed improvement. My cholesterol was the lowest it's ever been, but I felt the worst I've ever felt. So I think like I can just see for my personal body, I'm thriving on carnivore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. And because you do the labs also to see the benefits of both, it'll be really interesting to see the labs after this as to what your body likes.
Totally. My iron was so low, the lowest it's ever been when I was vegan. I was pale and I was exhausted and I was like shedding like crazy. And I knew that. And then the lab sort of, confirmed that. Of course, my cholesterol was the lowest, but my iron was super low.
Huh, crazy. So, are there like certain supplements that you definitely suggest that every woman going through peri and then menopause should be taking?
I also kind of view it as like an individualized approach. Also, depending on what medications people are on, some meds deplete a lot of key nutrients. I mean, you can never go wrong with an omega-3, a fish oil, a collagen, a vitamin D, a B complex, a greens powder. These are all really restorative, beneficial nutrients as we age for inflammation and just joint health and skin health. But outside of that, more individualized, like, progesterone support, for instance, like people ask me about evening primrose oil or Vitex. Others ask about blue or black cohosh and other estrogenic supplements, maca for testosterone. Those sorts of things I would recommend on an individual basis as opposed to like a blanket, outside of flax. Flax we know is great for estrogen. Outside of that, I would say everything else is more individual.
And for the, say, progesterone, as you were just mentioning, all those ones, like, would you take those supplements as well as taking progesterone if you are already? No, if that'd be a.
No, one or the other. So, when we get into the world of hormones, a lot of women are hesitant to take hormones. Progesterone is much safer. I think people feel a little bit more cautious about estrogen, but in the world of progesterone is very safe. But even still, if people don't want to take hormones, then I often recommend herbs. So you would take a progesterone supplement to boost your progesterone levels naturally instead of taking progesterone cream or progesterone pills.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you sit with like hormonal health and exercise and movement?
Imperative. I think it's crucial, right? You're super active. I think for mental, emotional, physical health, people who exercise have a stronger bone density, more muscle mass, more testosterone production, growth hormone. So many benefits to exercise, not just from a metabolic standpoint. I think if you're looking to lose some weight that you're gaining in perimenopause, estrogen also, exercise can be very helpful, but mental health as well is huge.
I loved your post about walking, and I do agree. I think that walking is something that we all should be doing anyways, and you can't really consider that exercise, but what's your take on this for the
I
girls?
just I like have to talk about this because everyone yesterday again, I asked somebody what they do for exercise, and she tells me she walks every day. Like walking is amazing. Everyone needs to walk, but it's a fundamental movement we should all be doing. And I think like I was also reading an article today. It said 4,000 steps a day reduces the risk of dying. Like we're so sedentary that
Yeah.
we are celebrating 4,000, 7,000, 10,000 steps. So many people, I think last year, weren't able to hit 10,000 that they lowered it to 7,000. That is just like a function that our bodies are designed to do. That is not considered exercise. Exercise is above and beyond, I would say, 10,000 steps a day, 3 days a week. You're sweating, you cannot hold a conversation. I don't mind if you have joint pain and you physically can't go for a run, but you can do cycling, you can do swimming, you can do rowing, anything that gets your heart rate up to, 75% of your heart rate, in my opinion, constitutes exercise. I think that we're just making a lot of exceptions because people are, not exercising. So we're saying it's okay to just include walking, but there's a reason I think so many people are so sedentary, obese, depressed. Have metabolic concerns, diabetes, cholesterol. Like we're dealing with an obesity epidemic, whether people want to admit it or not. And part of that stems from diet and part of that stems from exercise. And I'm like trying to be very clear in a supportive way because it's not judgmental. I'm very empathetic as well. But yeah, we have to change that.
Yeah. Well, and you say, like, you have the general population, maybe that walking really is more directed to the people that aren't moving at all. So, like, start somewhere.
That's right. Absolutely. And I applaud people who are trying to move. I think walking is an amazing thing, like for so many reasons, right? But if you're classifying it as exercise, then I think it's maybe just the language.
Yeah. So one more question for me, and then I'll see if maybe Carly or Nikki has a question. But so let's go into Ozempic, Berberine, and your pound a day. So I know, like, as women, as we're gaining weight because our bodies' metabolisms are changing, it's like, okay, it's in the belly. This is not where I want to have it. Obviously, doing hormonal panels and going down that way to discover why, what would be the next kind of step as to really target, that fat that you're really wanting to lose because you're not happy with it, obviously.
For sure. Yeah, I think insulin resistance is becoming like a very popular term. Insulin resistance is basically just a pre-diabetes. So type 2 diabetes, before you become type 2 diabetic, you become insulin resistant. And a key part of insulin resistance is this midsection belly fat. And so when we're dealing with this belly fat, if it's not cortisol and it's not hormones, we have to look at insulin. And that's just, blood sugar. So people who are overdoing carbs and sugars and wine and, starches, it can turn into abdominal adiposity. So Ozempic and Berberine and Mounjaro and some of these other drugs and herbs help to decrease insulin. And so what we're noticing is when we lower your blood sugars and we reduce your insulin, the belly fat goes away. So that's the appeal. It's just something to really target that belly fat just because, that belly fat is a precursor for diabetes.
And the berberine is like a natural supplement to do, and maybe is that like kind of your baseline to begin?
Yeah. So, again, the people who don't want to take hormones, some people don't want to take Ozempic, but they want something to target their insulin. So that's when I'll recommend berberine. Berberine is like a natural precursor it's actually more similar to metformin, which is also a diabetic drug, but berberine is completely safe, completely natural. Other women want Ozempic. I do prescribe Ozempic if people's blood work shows and their BMI and their body fat percentage is in alignment with me prescribing it. And it works, right? The issue is just that when you come off of it, what happens? It's a magic pill in the sense that you haven't changed your diet, you haven't changed your lifestyle, you're using a drug to lower your insulin, and then you come off of it, and the basics still remain. You need to exercise, you need to limit your carbs and sugars, and if you don't do those things, you'll gain it all back.
Absolutely. And then with your one pound a day, right? Pound a day. That is, you are limiting your calorie intake for that time, and then you are supplementing it also with a injection,
Yeah, you're
right?
taking an injection. It suppresses your appetite. You're not hungry. You're eating a really low calorie diet, and you're in to see me every week. We weigh in, and I give you another fat burner and appetite suppressing injection. But, same thing. You're on it for 23 or 40 days. And if you don't adopt lifestyle habits when you come off, you'll gain it all back. So, with my help, I hope to help educate and coach people through the program and life after the program so that they keep it off. And most do. I think they just need to work with someone, right? I do better when I have a personal trainer. I'm more accountable. I don't love my motivation when I have to go on my own to the gym, but I know if I go to a trainer, I'll be accountable. And I feel like I'm the same for a lot of people who are trying to lose weight. Coming in and answering and having a conversation about it just keeps them more accountable also.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Carly, do you have any questions that you want to
We've lost two
shoot this
people.
way? I
I
know they
know.
were both
I'm like,
on.
I'm the only one left.
It's the lunch
Thanks for
hour time.
kicking your ass. And I was late to join. It was funny. I didn't have it in my work calendar. And I was like literally about to get up and go work out. And then you were like, are you joining? I was like, oh my God, yes. So nice to meet you. I always have to You
laugh at myself. All the stuffed animals behind me don't make sense when I'm not on work calls. I work for TELUS. So that's why there's all the critters behind me. No, it's really interesting. Actually, Brit and I have talked. Brit knows a lot about sort of what I've been working through and that recently. I actually have started seeing a naturopath in Lynn Valley in the last, I don't know, it's 5 months, I think maybe 4 or 5 months. And Britt had actually recommended that I potentially reach out to you, but it was just to get closer. I've got two kids and work full time. And I think you're in New West, right?
Yeah, no problem. I think if you're seeing someone, that's perfect. Yes.
Yeah. So some of like the curiosities are actually, I have an appointment coming up that I'm going to be chatting with the person that I'm seeing. But I did have a pretty like through the fall and into over kind of Christmas time, I had like was feeling some really, really dark down moods and was noticing it tied into cycle. And so after getting sort of that whole story you're talking about, where my doctor did testing, but everything was sort of at an above threshold, I'm kind of old enough to be in perimenopause, but maybe not quite. I'm 39. And
So she does. I am on my second month of progesterone supplements now. And then she's also got me on a vitamin B1 complex, ashwagandha and saffron complex. And I am noticing a difference where I've actually, and I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. What I've actually noticed though is once I get my cycle and I go off the progesterone, I'm finding that I'm not getting that really dark period through PMS that I was. Like, it was really hard. Like, I was completely irrational, and like felt like a stranger in my own body for sure. But then what I noticed, because I'm now 2 cycles in, is when I get my period and I go off the progesterone, I'm noticing I'm feeling a big mood dip then. And I don't know if that's common or to be expected.
So you'll talk to her about it. Instead of cycling, you might just do better on it all month long, and then you go off it during your period. So depending on what she has to say, that's what I would do,
Yeah.
but everyone's got
And sorry, I
different.
am cycling, to be clear. So it's I'm doing
Of
14
course,
days and then
exactly. You're
go
doing
off.
14 to 26. So instead of coming off, you would just go on it all month long, and then you'd come off it when you bleed, only when
That
you
one
bleed.
period. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So yeah, working through that and then really like, yeah, the motivation piece is something that I'm always looking for support on. I do follow you and I saw sort of those the weight loss shots that you're talking about. So is that what you're talking about? Just to be clear, when you were saying
No,
that people come in.
that's part of the weight loss program. I do
Yeah.
those on the weight loss program, yes, but then
Okay.
people just come in just for those red shots that you saw all the
Yeah.
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them are they mixed with B12? Do you do the both?
They're B12 with MIC. So depending on Carly who you're seeing, you're in Lynn Valley. Are you at Restoration? Yeah. So are you seeing Kathleen?
No, one of her name's Allison. She's one of the newer ones.
Okay, so I don't know Allison, but I know Kathleen really well. If I don't know if they carry them, but you can ask them if they have the lipotropic B12 shots. A
That's
lot. If they
interesting.
do IVs, which they do a lot of IVs, then they should have
I know
some
they do
sort.
IVs, yeah, because she had tested me for iron. Every doctor that I've ever seen and told them sort of the things I'm feeling, they're like, "You're low on iron, we're sure." And then the tests come back and they're like, "You're not. Your iron's great." And they're like, "You're low on
That's
vitamin D, we're sure." And then the tests
good.
come back and they're like, "No, you're like 90, but you're not." Like, it's so funny. It's like
No.
everything is like, "No, you're normal." I'm like, "But I'm not."
You just have a progesterone deficiency, which is totally normal. That's it.
Even that was like beginning stages. So it is really interesting. No, when you were talking about the food, I heard you mention sort of like I eat for sort of O type. And I know that I've had family who have I have wild history when it comes to family and nutrition and doing crazy things. And so always have a wide variety of opinions floating around. But at one point I had family members who were very big on the eating for your blood type, and I heard you mention that. I'm O as well.
Yeah,
Oh,
I mean, I don't
positive.
know the merit. I'm also, and I don't know the merit at all. Like, the science, the data. I think, throughout the years, we've seen some crazy advice about eating, but I feel for me again, personally, I don't know. I'm an O and I thrive on meat.
Yeah,
So if
me
I'm N
too.
of one, then that's my sample size.
And it's just really interesting. Like Brit and I've talked about this a little bit, how I've always struggled with like keeping up on veggies and I don't feel satiated by them and I don't feel full by them and I don't feel satisfied. And I'm like, but I could eat meat all day. Like I could eat if I have like cold, like it's like you put the cold, like the container of like prepped veggies in the fridge and you're like, he'll eat this tomorrow and you don't eat it. And then I put like a container of like leftover steak from the night before and I'm literally like at the kitchen at the fridge at 10 o'clock in the morning, like eating cold marinated steak.
So
Me
maybe
too.
there's
Me
something to
too.
said about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Maybe
Oh,
we're sample size
totally.
of two. So there we go.
High five.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I so appreciate you coming on and making time for me. And I'm glad that you're back in town. And I hope everything's going well for you.
Thank you. I'm sorry I had to cancel,
Oh my
but
gosh,
I'm
never.
always happy to come on anytime. You also just have amazing advice and keep rocking and doing what you're doing. So
Thank you. I
happy to
appreciate that.
support.
Thank you. So, for the podcast side of this, where can everyone find you and come on in and start their hormonal path and journey to enlightenment, let's say.
How can you find me? Our website is www.polohealth.com. We are in New Westminster. The clinic is called Polo Health and Longevity Center. We're at 711 Columbia Street. And then Instagram at Polo Health is our clinic page. And my page is at dr.alana, A-L-L-A-N-A, P-O-L-O.
Amazing. Thank you. And I saw that you got the new body scanner. That's awesome.
Yes,
the knowledge and that'll fun. Be cool.
Yes, it will be. It's been amazing, actually. I think people are like really connecting to what's going on inside their body that they can't visibly see. And it's making people exercise more. It's awesome, actually.
Yeah, are you using that metric as part of your carnivore side also for the month?
Yeah, I did it at the beginning. I did it a week in. Yesterday was my second week in, and then I'll do it at the end. I have not been exercising for the past week or so because my husband's been out of town. So I've been on mom duty with two kids and I haven't had a chance to go. And I lost 2 pounds of muscle. Like, I've been eating so Wow. much protein, but I've lost 2 pounds of muscle because I absolutely know why. I have not like done a lick of exercise. I don't do well at home. I know you exercise at home. And so when my kids go to sleep, I could exercise at home, but I need out. I need to be
I
out
need to
of the
exercise
house.
In the morning. Otherwise it just doesn't happen for me.
Yeah,
so
me
yeah.
too. Morning. And so like when they're sleeping and I can't go anywhere, I just haven't been. And so, yeah, I'm seeing that has opened my eyes a little bit. So that
fascinating.
Was interesting. Yeah,
totally. Well, thank you. I so appreciate you making time today. And yeah, look forward to seeing you again soon and excited you're doing your open house in May. So I hope to make it there.
Yes, May 7th. Anybody
yeah.
is welcome. Everyone and everyone. 5:30 at the clinic. Come on in.
Thank you. Thanks, Alana. Have a great day.
Thanks. Great. You too.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Carly. Where's
yeah.
my cord?
No worries. What
I
the
need
fuck
to
is
stop
Hannah?
recording. Here we go. Stop recording.